To the Best of Our Knowledge is produced in Madison, Wisconsin, a city that's no stranger to political protest. Some of the largest in the city's history took place just a few weeks ago, inspired by Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's efforts to strip collective bargaining rights from state employees. The protests were unlike any this city has ever seen before. And like the Arab Spring protests, they were organized through social media. Day after day, demonstrators occupied the Wisconsin State Capitol, just a few blocks from our studios. They filled the building and the blocks around it with political posters and first aid stations, free food stalls, and live concerts. They even slept there, spreading sleeping bags over the marble floors. One of those sleep-in activists was Christy Taylor, a blogger who kept a diary of her experiences.
Day 6, 10:15 p.m. I leave my possessions in a corner while I explore. It feels safe. Some of these people are already my friends, and the rest might as well be. Volunteer marshals patrol the building in blaze yellow vests, keeping order so the police don't have to. This is no lawless college party. Instead, it's a highly organized community. Volunteers have established food stations where you can help yourself to Ian's pizza, granola bars, and fruit. A library of union reading material. A first aid station with lozenges for shouted out throats. A family space, complete with toys and volunteer daycare. Several signs declare our principles. The first, that the Capitol is our house, and we should keep it clean out of respect. Day 6, 10:30 p.m. I watch several protesters clean the first floor of the rotunda. They have no mops. They have no brooms. Instead, they kneel with rags for at least 20 minutes. The marble floor never looked that dirty, but their rags come away black. I'm stunned. There they are, tenderly scrubbing the epicenter of our very own historic populist movement. A man says, "I wish Fox News would report on this." I am surrounded by civics lessons. And there's fun. I see people reading and playing chess. I pass drum circles, salsa lessons, meditation circles, and a three-piece folk band playing "This Land Is Your Land." There is no dearth of laughter. I see the police, who watch the building's entrances, talk and joke with the visitors. Many of them also disagree with Walker's bill, and it shows. We find moments to thank them for the overtime they're working, for their politeness and helpfulness. Day 6, 11:15 p.m. A warier undercurrent now. A woman hands out the phone number for the ACLU and tells us to take a workshop on nonviolent resistance. I hear several conflicting rumors about when the governor might order us kicked out. I will learn that this is commonplace. Day 6, 12 a.m. Tired at last. The spot I've staked out has an unobstructed view of the mural of justice, who watches from the dome. I have a sleeping bag, a pillow, and a paper-thin yoga mat. The lights are still fully on. The big marble house hums with hundreds of quiet conversations. Eventually, I fall asleep, staring at Justice's face. Day 7, 6 a.m. I wake disoriented, cold, and without a sense that I really slept. It's finally quiet in our house. Just a few footsteps and the strange hum of hundreds of people breathing in an echo chamber. A man tells me that it won't start to get loud again until about 8. A member of the drum circle sleeps 5 feet from me, snoring. In one of the women's restrooms, I change into my clothes and brush my teeth, loaning toothpaste to another bleary-eyed woman. It's still dark when I leave to go to my 9-to-5 job. I turn to look back at the glowing white of the Wisconsin State Capitol. I'll never look at it the same way again. Once, it was alien and intimidating. Now, I feel far closer to it and the power that it represents. I feel, in both my bones and my slightly aching back, the truth of the matter. This is our house.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For you, young, makes us strong.
Day 7, 8 p.m. I'm back. Tired all day. I didn't get much done at work. And I long for a quiet night home with my cat and my mattress. But the loud rattle of the Capitol beckons. I enter to the sound of drums. The din is comforting. Day 7, 1 a.m. It is a night of even more terrible sleep than the last. I wish it was dark. I wish I had earplugs. I miss my cat. I wake again at 3, at 4, at 5. Day 8, 7 a.m. I reset my alarm 3 times before I finally pull myself awake. I don't stop to brush my teeth. I just pull on jeans and head to work in the morning hush. I'm exhausted and less hopeful. Day 10, 9:30 p.m. I reclaim the corner overlooked by Justice. Large TV monitors show us the assembly on its second straight night of debating the bill. But since everyone is still chanting, I can barely hear it. Lacking internet or a smartphone, I feel cut off from events that are happening less than 100 feet away. Day 10, 10:30 p.m. I get in line for the assembly viewing galleries. High on the fourth floor, I look down on the crowd, which roars in the direction of the chamber. Kill the bill. While they are blocked by police tape from getting near, I'm about to cross the border into the heart of it all. I'm in my pajamas, and I have no shoes on. It is thrilling. Day 10, 11 p.m. Everyone watching is riveted. At 11 o'clock on a Thursday night, there are more than 100 people with their eyes on the proceedings of their state government. It's like we've been breathing the fumes of civic engagement as we sleep. When this fight finishes, for good or for ill, Wisconsin will be richer in people who understand what the Constitution owes them and who care. Day 10, 12:30 a.m. I can't keep my eyes open. I creep away to sleep. The debate from the assembly floor echoes through speakers. I fall asleep to the sound of Democrat Therese Brousseau speaking passionately about the value of the American middle class. This is the warmest, cold, hard floor I've slept on.
Christy Taylor is a writer and blogger living in Madison, Wisconsin.